Loaded Radio. Hi, this is Matt Jolly. Aviate timepieces honor both the aircraft and the untold story of the airman. Check out the awesome lineup of Aviate timepieces by visiting avi-8.co.uk. That's avi-8.co.uk. Choose from six popular themes, including the Harrier. They're all there waiting for you at avi-8.co.uk.
You're strapped in to Woodbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And good evening, everybody. Matt Jolly here with you for the 25th of April. Hard to believe we're already at the end of the month here. But glad to be with you tonight. A lot to talk about this evening. Aviator Rich Perkins is joining us this evening. He's going to be flying all three of his aircraft at the upcoming Travis Air Force Base Air Show just outside of the city of Sacramento, California. And it's going to be a big time. We're going to have a great time there with Rich. He's on the show tonight. Plus, we'll be talking with Jason Capra from the Beach City Baby Project. Vintage Wings Incorporated is the name of the nonprofit. As you know, they've been restoring a very, very disheveled C-53 that they found on a grass strip. And they've done this all within a very short amount of time, about a year. And so Jason's going to come on and give us the update that we know they bought the airplane now. They've paid for it. It's theirs. And so where are they now? That's what we're going to find out tonight. Plus, we'd love to hear from you. The number to dial, 478-787-4768. If you'd like to call in and comment on anything tonight, we'd love to hear from you. It's also a free call from anywhere in the world via Skype. The username is just Warbird Radio. There's a lot of you listening tonight. We look forward to interacting with you. At the very end of the show, toward about the 45 mark, we're going to bring Steve Tupper on, our attorney at law there that has been so diligently following the Planes of Fame lawsuit. That's been lingering out there in California. In fact, it should come to, well, something of a head on the 28th, just a few days from now. So we're going to check in with Steve as we prepare for that particular court date. So, a lot to talk about tonight. Let's get straight to it. Rich Perkins is joining us now. Rich, good evening. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Matt. How in the world are you?
Well, I've been recovering from a cold, to be honest, Rich, but I'm doing all right. I'm ready to go. Tell us about how you got started in all this, because you yourself, you're a veteran and an Air Force guy. Tell us your background in flying before we jump into the fact that you're flying three airplanes in one air show. That's
sure,
unheard
yeah.
of.
The well, I've been flying for 40-something years now, and the started off like a lot of other kids, building models, became enamored with aircraft, didn't want to do anything else. Young, got my private license, volunteered for the Air Force, got a commission, went through pilot training in Georgia, flew T-37s, T-38s, went on, despite the fact that I was one of the seven guys in the class fighter qualified, I wound up flying a C-130, which turned out to be a great deal. Really opened my eyes to what was going on in the world. And then did that for a few years, went back to my hometown, believe it or not, and flew T-38s. Supersonic trainers, tandem seat, then on to San Antonio to fly the T-38 as sort of an instructor pilot, teaching people to be instructors, and then that was the subject matter expert for all of T-38 academics in the Air Force, and I was sort of the aerodynamics guy for the Air Force. And then I volunteered for the U-2 program. So I was in the U-2 program for about 10 years, and then a staff tour, and then back into, and then eventually wound up as the Air Force liaison officer at NASA Ames Research Center, being the Air Force liaison officer on the West Coast. That was a great gig. Somewhere in there, started a place called Attitude Aviation. And it's a flight school and FBO and teaching aerobatics and tail wheel and specialty sort of flying, including jets. And then somewhere in there, start flying air shows about in 2001 and had a time frame in an L-39. And now I've got a pits on my card, my low altitude card. I've got pits and extra Yak 54 and Marchetti on there. And so I'll be flying the Marchetti, the Yak 54, and the L-39 at the Travis show.
Tell me about the Yak 54. A lot of people, they don't even understand what that is. So fill us in on the Yak 54.
Sure, it's almost a one-of-a-kind of airplane. It's the they only built six of them originally. It's a two-seat version of the Yak-55, which is a unlimited aerobatic competition machine. The 55 was a single-seater that they built in the 90s, and they designed the Yak-54 to be the trainer for the single-seat 55. Then they found out the 55 was so easy to fly that they didn't need the trainer, so they put off building it. Finally got it built in the late 90s and sold a few of them, and then things changed. And they built a few more since, but there's really only about 8 or 10 of these in the world. And right now there's only one in the United States, or maybe one more coming back in.
So never a military airplane. Yeah,
it's a monoplane. I guess it's good since we don't have things pictorially here. It's a unlimited aerobatic monoplane, two seats, tandem seating.
I see.
And it's quite the beast, 360 horsepower.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, so, I mean, this is never a military airplane per se, but a great aircraft that that probably flies a lot like some of the fighters that would have flown in World War II, I'm sure. The big round engine up front. And
yeah, big round engine. It sounds great. I mean, it's a big radial engine. It rolls faster than most of the World War II fighters. And, you know, the funny thing is that even though it's, quote-unquote, a civilian airplane in the former Soviet Union, you know, everything over there was built to military standards and built like military airplanes. And they used a lot of the military parts and stuff in their civilian airplanes as well. So it feels like a military-built airplane. I mean, it even smells like a Russian military airplane when you climb into it. It's just hilarious.
Let's talk about the Marchetti a little bit, because I think you're bringing that too, aren't you, to Travis?
Absolutely, yeah. The sexy Italian. It is a warbird, because the Italians use that as their lead-in trainer for all of their jet pilots when they were going through pilot training. So it's a propeller-driven airplane. It's two seats side by side with a third seat for an observer, but it's sleek, it's fast, it's like I said, it's sexy, it's fully aerobatic and IFR, sliding canopy, twin controls, good looking airplane, and it's still a warbird, so it's kind of nice to be able to have that warbird moniker on there.
You know, one of the guys that I love having on the show has often said that that's his favorite airplane. I won't name names right now, but a lot of people know him. very high time F-14 guy, but I'm told that's his favorite airplane, and I thought that's pretty cool though.
It is many people's favorite airplane, and in fact, my airplane was flown by Chuck Lischer, who you knew, and was a very well known air show pilot and a well known aviator before that. He was real active in the Swift world, in the world of Timko Swifts, but I wanted to buy a Swift one time, but I still love Swifts. They're beautiful little airplanes. But I went to Chuck, who had STCs, meaning some of the type certificates and modifications that were being put into the Swift. He owned the rights to those. And so he was sort of an expert. I went to him and said, hey, Chuck, I want to buy a Swift. What do I need to know? And he looked at me and said, you don't want to buy a Swift. And I said, I don't. He said, you want a Marchetti. and I said, okay, tell me about it. And I knew what a Marchetti was, but at that point I'd never flown one, I think. Or I'd flown one once, and it had been years and years and years before. And basically it's a do-everything airplane. I mean, he said if you can only own one airplane, this ought to be it, because you can travel in it, you can go and do instrument work in it, you can fly in the clouds, you can do aerobatics in it, you can carry people in it. It's a great do-everything airplane, and it looks great. It's a fantastic-looking airplane. It's got tip tanks and high-performance recip engine in it, and it sounds good. It looks good. It's fast. Everybody knows it. And it's a lot of people's favorite airplane.
I love it, and it's all going to be at Travis Air Force Base here, not this weekend, but next weekend for the big deal.
The weekend of the 6th and 7th.
And then you're bringing the Firecat on top of all of this, Rich.
On top of all of that, yeah. So I just made things easy for the Air Force, and they hired me for all three acts, and so it's sort of I'm sort of an air show in a box this time.
Talk about your school just a little bit, because I think this is important to bring up too. That on the West Coast, if you want a tail dragger experience, you can go right over the mountain from where we're going to be there at Travis to your school. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, it's Attitude Aviation. And we have, we specialize in tail draggers and aerobatics. Got a lot more Cessnas and Pipers than we used to have, but that's just a good thing because people have to learn how to fly if they're going to learn how to fly aerobatics and stuff later. So we've got an extra 300, which is the quintessential, aerobatic performer and multiple Citabrias, which is a starter, entry-level tail dragger and entry-level aerobatic performer or aerobatic, training aircraft. And other things that are aerobatic. So and then we got the Cessnas and Pipers. People just learn how to fly in, but it's sort of a do everything place, and it's the standards are really high, which I really like, and I've really tried hard to keep them high. So people that learn to fly with attitude, meaning attitude aviation, well, and with attitude, good attitude, that they know how to fly. And the FAA, when we send some of our student pilots up for check rides, that the FAA is always happy. I mean, we have a real high pass rate, and the examiners are always saying how well our people are trained. And the same thing applies with our aerobatics and formation training and high-performance training and tailwheel training. So we do all that, and we do it to pretty high standards, so I'm proud of it.
Well, I think that's great, and that's something that is so needed because for so long, as you've, well, and I'm sure you know, that it just happens. It happens more and more these days where we're seeing young aviators that really just have no airmanship at all. I mean, very, very true. Little.
Yeah, very recipe-driven pilots. So, as if you learn in a tailwheel or if you learn to fly a tailwheel, the airmanship, the skills come forth, and the judgment blossoms. So it's a really, really good thing. And we try to expose our students. It's like I was flying. What would be a weather day for most schools around the country, in the sense that there was almost nobody flying at the airport except attitude aviation students, because we loved it. We got them out in the rain and the wind, and it was all very safe, but it exposed, let them know that you can fly in this stuff and you can do it safely. So as opposed to graduating a bunch of really fair weather flyers who have marginal skills and only, in a very narrow comfort zone. We graduate students that are more versatile, more with a wider comfort zone and a much greater ability to fly in adverse conditions, especially crosswinds and stuff. So and that's what we specialize in. It's fun. Anybody wants to check it out, it's just at attitudeaviation.com.
There you go. Easy enough. We'll quick link that into the show story. I want to bring in our air boss for Travis because he's standing by. He's another guy that knows how to fly in the clouds. Talking about Jim Crum. Jim, how are you tonight? Good to see you.
Why, hello. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. You are going to get to know Rich Perkins' voice so well because you're going to talk to him three different times daily at this air show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, that's it. I'm sitting here working on the schedule, and I'm trying, he flies three, diverse airplanes between energy and noise and that sort of thing. And I just want to know, I mean, Rich, are you going to need a handler or somebody that's going to be able to take care of you this whole time?
I'm bringing three, and they've got two that are already on my case saying, okay, we need to figure out what you're going to eat between these flights, and we need to figure out how we're going to get you some, and be sure, I'm going to bring water. And so my girlfriend Dana and my crew chief, Keith Edney, are both coming, and then I'm bringing a ground crewman, a third ground crewman. But those two, Keith and Dana, are dead set on making sure I'm remain rested, healthy, and well-fed. So I think with them looking after me, I'll be okay.
That's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun show. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, Rich and his three acts, plus Team Travis flying the Army Golden Knights, Jackie B, Bill Brock, Smoking Thunder Jet Car. I mean, so I think I'm working up some stuff to have a little race and do some other things. So, I mean, it's going to be quite a show at Travis.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to it. Jim will be the maestro there, putting this all on. And Rich, you and I are just along for the ride. It's at that point, just as the execution of it all.
Yep.
So going to be
part
a great
of the
time.
Band.
Jim, I think Bob Carlton's flying there, Dan Buchanan as well. And then we have the Thunderbirds to sort of round it all out there in the evening. You were telling me, Rich, I don't even know if you're aware of it, this is a very long air show. It starts at 10 in the morning, and Jim, the Thunderbirds fly at 3.
Yeah. So Saturday and Sunday, I'm able to shave off a little bit of time, and we'll be starting around 10:30. And then we'll make, you know, airplanes start around 10:30, and the Thunderbirds take the field at 1500 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So
wow.
I'm trying not to have the performer brief too early because, Matt, I know you like to sleep in.
I'm telling you. going to be a fun, event. And Rich, what's the weather like up there at Travis? If folks want to travel out there and come and see us for the weekend,
Northern California weather, it's beautiful. It's just going to be getting better from here on out. So the we're in a great time of year for Northern California. The flying weather is great. I was up this morning twice, once in the Yak, prepping for the air show, and once in the Sitavria. And it's just gorgeous visibility. I could I don't know if you appreciate this. I could see I'm in Northern California, but I'm North Central California, and from 2,000 or 3,000 feet above Livermore, I could see Mount Shasta in Oregon. I mean,
wow.
So the visibility's just been impressive here lately.
Wow. Yeah, we don't get that in D.C.
So it's been clear as a bell. The Bay Area is beautiful, but I mean But Travis sits in a plain that's just east of the coastal hills, and so it's sitting in a great spot, and it's got lots of things to do around there. I mean, people that want to actually come in and spend a night, or spend a day or two. You're just a short drive from Napa, the valley, and the wine country, and there was Sacramento, and just lots and lots of stuff to do around here. In addition to the air show, but the air show is going to be pristine weather. It's going to be beautiful.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it, Jim. Thanks for coming on. Do you have any final thoughts, Jim, before we wrap things up here?
No, not really. I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be a great show. Big thing is, I just need to know. Rich, how much time is each act? That's one of the big things.
There you go. We'll just solve it all.
The each one, if let's say 10 minutes, 10 to 11 minutes for the act, 12 to 13 for the other two, and that's
perfect.
From the beginning of the act to touchdown.
And
there you go. We're making up time right there.
That's awesome. I've seen the Firecat, Rich. That's just a terrific act. Sweeping acro, as you've said, a ballet in the sky, which I think is well said.
Yeah.
So very, very gentle, and that looks like the fun one to ride with. I think that would be the fun ride.
You'd love it. You'd love it. Now I'm working hard in spite of because it is high speed. I hit show center on the first loop. I hit show center at 500 miles an hour. And so it's tough to keep the airplane in tight. So on those turnarounds, it's kind of funny. The maneuvers themselves, very gentle. The turnarounds are where I'm pulling hard, trying to keep this thing in tight and keep it in front of the audience. The Yak is just the opposite. The Yak does everything in a phone booth. I mean, it's just that you kind of can't even get away from show center. It's a remarkable airplane. So the two extremes are just incredible. I got one that's wild, crazy, and tight, and the other one is just, as you say, a sweeping, large-scale ballet.
Wow.
It's fun.
Well, good on you then. Well, Jim and Rich, thanks for coming on tonight. I'm looking forward to the Travis Air Show. It's going to be a great time, and going to get to see you. You know, Rich, I don't know if you realize this, but Cookie lives just down the street from me here in D.C. So,
no, didn't know that.
You know, he's still working for your former employer and has a great time out here. So we're going to have to go to California to see each other, though. That's how it works. So,
yeah.
You know, really, it'll be
well, I look
be
forward
time.
To seeing everybody.
All right, Jim. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for the call, Jim. I do appreciate it. We'll talk to you real
thanks,
soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So Rich, any final thoughts here from your side of the table as we close out the show and get on with it? Looking forward to seeing you, obviously, but any
just,
closing
just
thoughts?
The observation that, as you said, or as Jim was saying, this is a banner show. It's a very large air show and very, very long. So, I mean, in terms of, well, it's a free show, but in terms of the investment of your time to come to an air show, this is the one you don't want to miss, you know, because it's the weather's going to be great, the location is great, and the air show itself is going to be a very long, very very filled air show. So it's not stretched out. It's not like they took the same number of performers and stretched it out to a long air show. They're packing it. I mean, there's a lot of people flying at this air show. It's kind of amazing.
Well, and some of the top talent to boot. So he read off a
lot
of
names. I think so.
Absolutely. It's going to be a fun
But
I'm
looking
show.
Forward to watching Dan Buchanan. I mean, I always enjoy this stuff. See, what I love is the extremes that we have here. It's like I'm going to hit show center 500 miles an hour. Dan will hit show center at 18 miles an hour.
Maybe.
And It's just great.
Yeah, if we're lucky. I tried to get Dan to come on tonight, but he's on the other end of the country with family tonight. So, but Dan, we got to have Dan back on the show at some point. That guy has done more than anybody
I
know.
Remarkable.
He is. He's remarkable guy.
Yeah.
And always fun to have on. So we'll have to have he and Bob Carlton on at some point. But
Rich,
thank you for coming
Bob's
on.
A good, and Bob's got good stuff. He's got some new equipment to talk about.
Well, it'll be fun. We'll see it hopefully next weekend. Well, thanks again, Rich. I do appreciate it. And we're going to bow out and take
my
a commercial break. Thank you again, Rich. We'll
talk
to you soon.
The show. All right.
So long. Rich Perkins, everybody. And Jim Crumb there sliding in. Cookie Crumb sliding in. All, of course, going to be performing at the Travis Air Show. Just the first weekend in May, going to be a great time. I'll be there announcing. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll have Warbird Radio there. So come out and say hello if you're in the Northern California area. We'll be right back with some more updates from Jason Capra in the Beach City Baby Project right after this.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is Matt Jolly. AV-8 timepieces honor both the aircraft and the untold story of the airman. Check out the awesome lineup of AV-8 timepieces by visiting avi-8.co.uk. That's avi-8.co.uk. Choose from 6 popular themes, including the Harrier. They're all there waiting for you at avi-8.co.uk.
You're strapped in to Wolfbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And welcome back here to Warbird Radio. Matt Jolly hanging out with you this evening. My thanks to Rich Perkins and to Jim Crum for calling in tonight. Nice to have them on, and I would encourage any of you to come out to the Travis Air Force Base show this coming, well, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, and hang out with us. It's going to be a great time. Jason Capra joining us now. Jason, how are you? Good evening, sir.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing well. How is the Beach City Baby? Give us the lowdown on your girl there up in Pennsylvania there.
Well,
or I should say Beach City, Ohio, shouldn't I?
Well, I mean that's her temporary spot, but yes, you're right. With the permanent home is Washington, Pennsylvania, so that's where we're trying to get it to as we speak. But no, we're making a lot of progress.
Now, the airplane is paid for. That's the good thing.
I'm sorry, good?
The airplane's paid for the folks at home who missed the last performance with your call. The airplane is paid for. You now own the airplane, and now it's just on you guys to get it going. So,
that's correct. Yes. So Vintage Wings, as of February of this year, finished paying for it. It's funny, our phone call right now, because I think it was about a year ago this time I talked to you for the first time on this radio show. And we were just trying to come up with the fundraising to raise the additional $80,000 we needed to pay for the airplane. And, here we are literally almost a year later, and we're on the other end of the spectrum now trying to get it flying. But, we had a very large donation come in, probably about a month ago or so. And that donation allows us to essentially get all the work done and get the airplane flying and on a ferry permit. We're actually, the more we get dug into the restoration of it, we may just end up going with its airworthiness certificate right where it is. Hmm. With the amount of work that's being done on the airplane, we may not even need a ferry permit, which is good news. But I'm looking at having the engines running hopefully sometime in June or July. And then we're still on par to do our ferry flight by late summer, early fall.
Okay.
Over to Washington County. So we're actually ahead of schedule as to what I thought we would be at this time. But like I said, with the donation that we just got, really kind of expedited our process. And now it's just a matter of let's get done what needs to get done. So we're
in the money side of it, sure is got the money side of it has to be like every project. I mean, that's always the holdback. But you guys have found a way to really just keep your head down and keep going, which I find impressive. I mean, really and truly impressive.
Well, thanks. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on the airplane that I'd say 90% of what's on the airplane is good. You know, we were really fortunate. We had a really large donation by Specialty Hose Aerospace Corporation out of Canton, Ohio. I met with Mike and Dave, and after they came down and looked at the airplane, and we had a meeting with them at their shop, decided to go ahead and donate every single hose on the aircraft they were going to replace and put new fittings on it for free as a donation.
That's remarkable, Jason.
You know, we had planned on doing just the hoses from the firewall forward and replacing them, and we were going to pay for that. But the generous donation of Specialty Hose, we're just pretty much every flexible hose on the entire airplane now is getting replaced. So a lot of good things that are coming, and like I said, it's really making this whole process speed up. And you know, I never cease to be flattered at the generosity of people willing to help us out. And you know, it's that kind of generosity coupled with our work ethic that, you know, we're going to do a lot of this work ourselves, which is what makes this project totally doable. And I said it before from the beginning that on top of paying for the airplane, you know, $100,000 to $150,000 will get us fully restored and in the air. And I know a lot of people look at us and scoff and wonder how in God's name we were going to pull that off. But we're getting pretty close to making that happen, and we're having really even put a dent into that that pot of gold, if you will, yet to make that happen. And it's just, we do a lot of stuff in-house, you know, we do a lot of the work ourselves, and there's a lot of money that gets spent on the labor itself. So we've been really fortunate that we've got the people that are talented enough and experienced enough to do the bulk of that work.
That's great. One of the things I want to bring up is the fact that we still, I'm guessing the wing still has to be removed for the inspection. Is that still looming in the future?
Yeah, it'll be one of the last things we do before the flight is the Douglas DC-3 wing pull. Every aircraft is subject to it. It's a DC-3 or a C-47. Essentially, you're basically pulling the outer wings off of the center wing section and checking for corrosion, cracks, and the doublers inside. Make sure there's no wear and tear on those. Now, our airplane with the previous owner, it was X-rayed in 1994, and the X-rays came back, you know, perfect, no cracks, just like brand new. So we have the X-rays. We looked over them. Everything looks phenomenal. But again, that was 20 plus years ago. So, you know, for our own self-satisfaction and just to comply with the AD, we're going to pull the wings, and every bolt on that wing, both wings, is going to get replaced and have a new counterpart put in. And obviously we'll be inspecting for what the SID calls for and the AD called for. But
you're optimistic,
honestly,
at this point.
With what I've seen on the airplane so far, and again, it's such a low-time airplane for as old as it is. You know, it was a corporate DC-3. It was never beat up and abused like a lot of the cargo C-47s out there were. I really have faith that what's in there is going to be good, and what we've seen so far, it looks excellent. So
okay.
No reason to discount that that the wing spars won't be the same.
So June, July for engine run. And then once that happens, it's anybody's guess as far as the first flight, I gather.
Correct. And it's just, at that point, it's as fast as the paperwork can come through, which we know can either be really good or really bad. So hopefully, you know, we'll have a pretty good process with that and get this thing out of there. We've already made it a point to introduce ourselves to our local FISDO here in the Pittsburgh area. Gone over there at least 3 or 4 times now and not bashful about showing the guys all of the work that we've done so far and how we've restored things, where we've gotten parts from. And, you know, the FISDO in Pittsburgh has been nothing but thankful and great. And they constantly say, we appreciate you coming over and showing us the stuff, and you're doing everything the way you're supposed to. And the last thing I want to do is, as a new organization, is get off on the wrong foot with the FAA. And I want to show them that you know, from day one that we're doing it by the book, and we're going 110% into this restoration, and we want it to be a good airplane. And I have a lot of pride in this airplane. I know she still doesn't look like, you know, the star of the show yet, but I can promise you when it's done, it'll probably be one of the nicest military DC-3, C-47, C-53s out there.
And, what is the plan for paint?
My poor oven downstairs, I think, has baked more DC-3 parts than it ever has any food.
Yeah, so. Well, that's okay. Exactly. What is the plan for paint now? I mean, that's obviously another big project in this restoration. Is the finish coat. What is the plan for that?
Well, right now PPG Aerospace has been kind enough to donate all of our paint to us. And that was done through one of our members' contacts with PPG. So we are beyond thankful for that donation, but we still have yet to pick out a paint shop for it. We are going to do that, outsourced. I want someone who knows what they're doing with paint to paint the airplane, and I don't trust myself to do the entire exterior, so we're going to let someone who knows what they're doing. But we're thinking about Kreider Aviation down in Arkansas. They painted the C-54 Spirit of Freedom, the C-46 Tinkerbell, and I think they did the flagship Detroit for the American Airlines DC-3. So they're pretty experienced with the Warbirds and big propliner aircraft, and I really like how they did Tinkerbell and the Spirit of Freedom. So I think we're probably going to take it down there. But again, we're going with the way the airplane looked in late 1942, early 1943. So it's Air Transport Command paint job, also with its Operation Torch insignia on it. And it'll just be overall olive drab with the gray underbelly and camouflage, medium green splotching on the vertical fin, horizontal stabilizers in the wings. And then, like I said, pretty standard. And the only thing that won't be original on it is our nose art, which is the Beach City Baby name that we dubbed it ourselves. But everything else will be exactly how the airplane looked in late 42, early 43.
And the actual airplane, I mean, that's the cool thing, is that you've gone back in, you know the history of this bird, and you're putting it back the way it was. Not some other airplane, which I think is terrific. I mean, this is living history in that regard.
It's funny, the airplane, when we initially got it, when we were looking for a DC-3, C-53, and we found this one, before we really started uncovering its history, we were, I think, originally going to paint this thing as the Camel Caravan, which is a C-47 that was used in the Berlin Airlift to kind of supplement the C-54 and the Berlin Airlift Historical Foundation. And then, the more we dug into the airplane's actual history and what a history it was, we decided to, it wouldn't be the right justice to represent it the way it wasn't meant to be. And the airplane had such an awesome history with so many VIPs and colorful history figures that, we really wanted to tell its own story.
That's
and doing anything else, I think, would be giving discredit to the airframe. So that's why we elected to go with the Air Transport Command and the Operation Torch scheme and really be true to the airplane's history.
I think it's terrific. And, of course, Jason Barnett hopefully will be able to crawl up on a ladder and finish the final touch there. We'll have to wait and see.
He was already promised that.
And, yeah.
He did our one piece of nose art that we carry around with us to our fly-ins and air shows. And my God, he did such an incredible work on that. And, I remember talking to him when he did that, said that, when the time comes and we're ready for paint, I would be honored if I had you paint it one more time on the side of the airplane before the, Matt Cook gets put on. So,
that's going to be great. Well, we'll have to see.
Hopefully we can do that.
So you're thinking within a year again, maybe within a year to see the completion.
Well, like I said, the airplane will definitely be over in Washington, hopefully sometime this year, later this year. Just depending on how fast, again, that we can get the interior work done and raise the money to pay for the fuel to fly to Arkansas and the labor to apply the paint. If the funding keeps coming in the way it's been, which is just, again, it's beyond flattering and humbling, We realistically, at earliest, Matt, probably 2019, you could see this thing out on the air show circuit at the earliest.
I like that date. That's a good that works well for us at Warbird Radio. So without going into detail, that works really well. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope we can be a part of that, Jason, and come out on the road with you guys some and see it. That's going to be a fun time. So, all right, man.
I can't wait. I can't tell you. Like I said, we were every time we go out there and we take a break from working on the airplane, I usually end up just sitting on the horizontal stabilizer in the back and thinking to myself, if I close my eyes and open them, I would like to be at Oshkosh with a beer in my hand after a nice day's worth of giving rides.
And
that's always been the dream. Every time we're out there, we always say, you know, one day this thing's going to be sitting at Oshkosh and we're going to be there with this airplane. And that's the goal. Right,
that's
going
to be fun. Well, hey, I look forward to that. I'm going to pack my tent in the back of Beach City, baby, and we'll do it. Do it upright. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Thanks again, Jason. Tell them what you need and where they can give it. We have the website quick linked into the show story right now. So if you can know that going into whatever you're about to say.
Yep. And as always, Matt, it's going to be www.vintagewingsinc.com. And that's our official website. Click on the donate tab. And there's a link to our PayPal account, and whatever you feel like donating, every penny helps get this thing in the air. We also have our online store. We have a store tab on there as well, so you can get the latest vintage wings and Beach City baby gear. We have new hats, new shirts for this year, and offering patches as well. And again, each year I'd like to try and keep updating that so we have something new to offer everyone. But every dollar, and I can't stress that enough, every dollar that we get goes towards the restoration of this aircraft. We don't have salaried positions, and there is no other funding that needs to get addressed. So it's 100% donation to restoring the C-53.
All right. Well said. Jason Capper, thanks for coming on. Always good to hear your voice.
Always a pleasure, Matt.
All right. Take care, Jason. Well, as we wrap up the show tonight, we're gonna try and squeeze in one more guest here, and I think we're going to be able to pull this off. Let's see. We've been following the story for, well, it seems like a month now, really, about this lawsuit that has sprung up against Plains of Fame's air show out there in Chino, California. And I think any moment now, hopefully we'll have Steve Tupper chiming in here with us. We're going to try and get him on and connect it up. Let's see if he's, I don't think he's there right now. We'll try and reach back to him here. But Steve, who has been our legal mind in all of this, has just been terrific with it. What I would like to tell you is that if you cannot understand any of this stuff, Steve has made it very, very easy to understand all of this stuff because he has a lawsuit tracker placed on his website, which is just AirSpeed. And when you go there, you can find the lawsuit tracker and then just sort of scroll down it, and you can find any and every piece of information that you'd possibly want. It's all right there, and Steve's just made it very, very easy. So you can easily find that at his website. He's trying to call me on the wrong line, so let me try reaching back out to him on this one, because there is an update, and I would love to get to that update if we can pull this off. Let's just try one more time here with Steve, and if not, we'll just chalk it up to bad experience here. But let's see. We're trying to reach him. Maybe we have him. Let's see. Steve, is that you?
It is I.
Oh, good. I don't know what was going on there, but I'm glad we reached you there. Where are we on the lawsuit?
You bet. So the hearing on the injunction is still scheduled for the 28th. We're no smarter about that than we were before. Only real interesting thing going on is some pleadings were filed on the 21st. And then again yesterday that are essentially asking that a lot of the special motions, all of those be considered at one time. So basically, instead of allowing a divide and conquer, and this is Plains of Fame that filed, looking to get the three basic motions that would seek to dismiss the suit without actually getting Foyt into the fist fight, asking that they be held at the same time. Additionally, on the 21st, they filed what's called an anti-slap motion, usually meant in used in the cases of journalists or activists or advocates. The slap basically provides that, you know, if you have a journalist who says something about a subject, the subject then sues with the idea that it's not so much the merits of a lawsuit, but to burden the speaker, the journalist, with a lawsuit. You can file an anti-slap motion under the California Code of Civil Procedure as a way of getting rid of the suit early if it's purely intended to harass and there's not much of a success on the merits. Kind of surprised to see that filed in an air show case. There's an allegation in Plains of Fame's pleading that says, hey, an air show is protected speech, and they're after the speech. Don't know if that really works in a slap context, but it's interesting to see that. But long story short, as far as I know, the motion on the injunction is still scheduled to take place on the 28th, and the hearing on that motion, probably not action immediately during the motion. It'll probably be something that the judge will take a little time to consider. And then the earliest we'd see action on the other motions would probably be May 9th. And by rule, the anti-slap part must be heard by the 19th of May. There's a 30-day period during which the court, if it can, must hear the motion.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. What do you have to say?
Hi, it's Joe from Skagit County, and I just got a press release from Yanks Air Museum that Yanks, the Chino Airport tenants, withdraw the request for a preliminary injunction to stop Plains of Fame from operating the 2017 air show, but will continue to seek a coalition to oversee the 2018 air show. I just read the title right from the press release.
Yeah, we just came in there, so... Do appreciate that. Yeah, how interesting is that? Thanks for the big development tonight. We appreciate your call tonight, sir. Thank you very much.
You are quite welcome.
Well, there you go, Steve. How is that for breaking news? Apparently the injunction has been dropped. So
yeah, I wonder about the... I mean, I presume that press release just came out. I wonder how much Warbird Radio had to do with that.
No, I don't think we had anything to do with that. But I'll tell you, the following this has been so interesting. I think that's what everybody's been wanting. Is just that injunction to be removed.
Right.
So that is cause right there for celebration. I mean, it's for sure. Cookie actually just wrote in too on this. So that's good stuff to hear, and I'm glad to hear that that's coming down the pipe.
Oh, me too. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, my ultimate goal in this whole thing, as is yours, more air shows are better than fewer air shows. And like I think we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, there's really nothing in the suit that warrants an injunction. If the parties are talking about who is owed what by whom in terms of damages, you know, that's a fist fight you can have. That's a negotiation you can have. Or if it has to go to litigation, that's a fist fight you can have without injunctive remedy. So big hat tip to everybody involved in taking the injunction off the table. I don't care what side you're on, massive hat tip. That is real progress, and that makes me happy.
Well, we've been talking about that. We said that's the that has been the real beef. Now, this just came in 1 hour ago. It says this is from Yanks. I'm reading this right from their website there, yanksair.org. It says we have withdrawn our request, as the caller just said, for our preliminary injunction. We did not want to harm the attendees and the vendors who have no control over the way Plains of Fame operates the air show. Our director, Kristen Wright, provided this quote, and this is directly from Yanks. We do not want others to be harmed as we have been every year by the unfair actions of Plains of Fame. We decided to drop the preliminary injunction for the sake of attendees and vendors, those who have purchased tickets, those who have made travel arrangements, and those who are there to sell goods, services, and food. We hope to see a change in the way Plains of Fame operates this year's air show now that a light has been shed on the ongoing issues they have refused to resolve. Now, in fairness, we've offered Yanks numerous opportunities to come on this show to talk about what they feel is unfair, and no one has come on and talked about it. We've seen some of this in the lawsuit, Steve, that has developed. But in fairness to either party, we've tried to make this a fair place to have people come and talk about it, and we just haven't heard anything from this. But it sounds like between what you're saying and what we're seeing, that indeed a dialogue hopefully has come up between those parties.
Yeah,
that's where it needs to be.
One does not just drop the injunction without there being a reason. And again, you know, I'm looking at this from afar. Frankly, I've had my head so far into the pleadings that the press release is coming as a surprise to me.
It came in 10 minutes before we went on to air. So, right.
Gotcha. And, you know, here I am preparing on the legal pleadings. So at the end of the day, it sounds like whatever dispute is now in the arena of who got hurt by whom and how much are the damages. And they're going to have the litigation on that basis. The good news being, it looks like the show will go on.
My hat's off to Yanks for doing this, because that was the right thing to do. And you and I've talked about this. I don't think anybody has ever been out against the air show. And I think that whatever, you know, behind the scenes trouble they're having, I'm glad to see that they're not hindering. At the end of the day, the fans and of course the vendors and everybody else. But at the end of the day, the stories will be told. It might not be the way that Yanks wants them to be told, but the story will be told. And I think that is the mission here of every museum in this country, is to further these stories that matter. These stories that matter so much, and an air show is just such a wonderful way to do it. And we just can't afford the legal precedent that this would set in this country. So, Steve, my hat's off to you, and I thank you for all the sounding board that you've provided. As this story continues to develop, I'm sure we'll follow it. But I think that is about the best news possible that we could hope to hear tonight. So Christmas came early, right?
Yeah, totally agree.
Thank you, Steve.
Great outcome. The rest is what the rest is.
That's right. Steve Tupper, our star attorney and aviation superstar. Thank you, sir. Good to hear it. And my thanks to the call. You know, we're so buried in pre-show prep that sometimes you just miss it. So I'm glad to hear about that. And I'm glad it came from a caller, because this is a family station, and we depend on everybody. So my thanks to everyone who's been listening tonight and following this along with us. Thank you for the calls. Steve, thank you. We'll talk real soon, bud.
Good day, sir.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for my show. Now, don't go anywhere, because in about 8 minutes, Zane Adams is back with an all-new Texas Warbird Report. And he has, I'm not kidding you, an all-star lineup tonight, to include Larry Gregory from the Lone Star Flight Museum. You want to talk about the Duxford of the United States. Just wait until you hear what the plans are for Ellington Field in Houston. Unbelievable. And Larry Gregory will be here to tell you all about it in just a few minutes on an all-new Texas Warbird Report. He also has some other great guests. They're all there just a few minutes away. So won't you stick around with us, grab another drink, put your feet up, and get ready for the Texas Warbird Report, because it's coming up next here on Warbird Radio. My thanks to all of our guests tonight, to Rich Perkins, hope to see you, Travis, to Cookie for calling in, and of course to Jason Capra. If you can make a donation to any of these fine projects we talk about, please do so. And remember to thank a veteran. So long for now, everyone.